Good morning. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas and are excited for the upcoming new year. I have the honor and privilege of sharing with you from God's Word this morning. Pastor Doug asked me several months ago if I would be willing to teach on New Year's Eve, and I kept putting him off, yet he remained persistent. And finally, just a few weeks ago, I told him that I would be willing to preach. So I've had some time to pray and think about what I would like to share with you this morning. So with that said, I'm excited and nervous. As the new year approaches, I think of the same things that most people do. New Year's resolutions, goals, and what I want to accomplish in the upcoming year. Millions and millions of people make New Year's resolutions. So as we get ready to enter a new year, I started searching the scriptures about what we should do as believers when we come to a new chapter or transitional period in our lives. So the first point I would like to make this morning is that we should remember and reflect on what God has done in our lives in 2017. In 1 Chronicles, the nation of Israel is going through a transitional period. King Saul has died, and the whole nation of Israel gathers around David, and the elders anoint him as king. If you remember, Samuel anointed David as king many years prior to this, while Saul was still living and the king. David had to wait several years with Saul trying to kill him before he would see the promise of God fulfilled. When David does become king after the death of Saul, the nation rallies around him. And what I'm going to read to you is when David brings the Ark of God to the city of Jerusalem. This is a wonderful time of praise and transition for the nation of Israel. In 1 Chronicles 16, David issues a long thanksgiving to God, and he tells his people this. In verse 12, "Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done." In verse 15, "Remember his covenant forever." And then in the Thanksgiving prayer, it gives a little history of their nation and what God has done for them. And again in verse 24, it says, "Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among the peoples." This psalm of thanksgiving in 1 Chronicles 16 is a reminder for the people not to forget what God has done for them. It encourages them to look back and reflect on the wonderful deeds God has done in their lives and in their nation. As we get ready to enter 2018, we also need to look back and remember what God has done in our lives in 2017. Has God answered your prayers or requests? Has God restored a relationship? Has God blessed you? Has God moved in your life in a mighty way? What are some of the things God has done? Too quickly we forget what God has done in our lives once some time has passed. I remember when I was in college at Liberty University, we had amazing Christian leaders and speakers come and speak to the students during our chapel services 3 times a week. On more than one occasion, different speakers and leaders told us to get and use a journal, to write down what God has done in our lives, write out prayer requests and what God is teaching us and showing us. God is always at work in our lives, and far too often we forget after some time passes. I truly wish I would have heeded their advice some 17 years ago, because God has done amazing things in my life. So if I could encourage you today, buy a journal. Write down prayer requests. Write down what God is doing in your life. Write down what God is showing you. And then when you look back and remember and reflect, it will encourage you. It will strengthen your faith in God. As I prepared for this message, I looked back in my journal at what God has done in my life just this year. And I would like to share just one story with you. Before Christmas of 2016, my brother gave me a snowmobile that didn't run. He just gave it to me for free. So I took the engine apart, installed a new piston and gaskets, and eventually got it running. I used it for a brief period of time and decided that I would rather have the money, so I sold it. I spent about $200 fixing it up on parts to get it running, and then I sold it for around $950. Well, since the transaction was cash, I just kept the money in my safe on my desk, and I kind of forgot about it. Fast forward to March of this year. I'm now going to read out of my journal. On Sunday, March 5th, I tithed on income that I made when I sold the snowmobile. I originally just kept the money thinking it was mine. God nudged me to obey, and I did. The very next day, Monday the 6th, I sold a trailer that I had listed on Craigslist for some time. The guy came over and gave me cash. This was a trailer I was selling for my brothers. And remember, it was listed on the internet for some time. And they told me that any amount that I sold it for over $2,000 is mine to keep. I sold it for $2,700. I got $700. Then a day later, I got a very important call for an interview. I went ahead and did that interview on Wednesday. Coincidence? No way. Thank you, God. Sorry I wasn't obedient earlier. This is just one example of what God has done in my life this year. And truthfully, I completely forgot about it until I was preparing for this lesson and looking back. What has God done in your life that over time you forgot about? What prayers has He answered that at the time you were completely astonished and thankful, but as some time had passed, you forgot? Think about your personal testimony. When God saved you. Most Christian leaders and pastors will tell you to write out your testimony so you will never forget, and also so that you can share it with others what God has done in your life. I am encouraging you today, as 1 Chronicles 16:12 states, remember His wonderful deeds which He has done. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses constantly tells the people to remember. As a matter of fact, depending on the translation, Moses tells the people to remember 13 or more times about what God has done. In Deuteronomy 4:9, Moses gives the nation of Israel a strong command. It says this, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to your grandchildren." Verse 10, "Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when He said to me, 'Assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children.'" We need to share with others what God has done in our lives. Write them down and never forget. Let us remember. Also in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses tells the people to remember when God tested them and corrected them. Have you been tested by God? Have you been disciplined by God? Not a very popular topic. In chapter 8, Moses says this in verse 1, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors." Verse 2, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commandments." Verse 3, "He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Verse 4, "Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." If you have received a discipline from the Lord, remember it. Write it down, and then you can share it with others. Each of us Christians have a story to share. Our salvation story, the times God has blessed us, answered our prayers, met our needs, protected us, loved us, forgave us, restored us, healed us, but also times He tested us, disciplined us, rebuked us. Let us not forget those times neither. As 2017 comes to a close, we need to remember and reflect on what God has done in our lives. Write it down in a journal. Be prepared to share it with others, your spouse, your children and grandchildren, friends, co-workers. Remembering what God has done in your life not only will strengthen your faith and perseverance, but will also encourage others. God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9. "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments." Now moving forward to 2018. Once we have established the proper perspective of what God has done, and we know that He is faithful, and the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we can move forward in confidence, not in ourselves or by our own strength and wisdom, but in Almighty God. People with no hope in God can look at 2018 with anxiety and fear. Impending wars, natural disasters, financial worries, global uncertainty, terrorism, crime, death, destruction. But not us Christians. We know what God has done in our lives and in the lives of those who have trusted in Him. In Jeremiah 29:11, this is what the Lord says. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God has a plan for you in 2018. So what is the proper response for us as believers? What should we do? Jesus answers the question in Matthew chapter 6. He addresses what we should focus on in the upcoming year. He first points out what people worry about concerning the future, what they eat, what they will drink, what they will wear. These are some of our physical needs. And today in America, we also have many things we worry about. Health insurance, retirement, job security, our vehicles, home repairs. The list goes on and on. Listen to what Jesus says in verses 31 through 34 in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." We have a Father in heaven who loves and cares about us. And Jesus said that we shouldn't even worry about tomorrow. So what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Seeking first means this. Your relationship with God should be your highest priority. It should be your preeminent relationship. When you wake up in the morning, when you go to work, when you're at home relaxing, when you're laying on your bed at night falling asleep, God should be on your mind. We need to focus our hearts, our thoughts, and our energy on the Lord's purpose and plan for our lives. Now, when Jesus says to seek first, what it literally means is to continually seek. We as believers should eagerly pursue God. Back in the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, where the Lord says, "For I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. The very next two verses say this, verses 12 and 13. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." That is exactly what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 6. Our eyes must be focused on the Lord. Think of the greatest commandment that Jesus said. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." That is seeking first the kingdom of God. Jesus said the cares and concerns of the future will take care of themselves. And we can't control what happens in the future anyway. There are going to be wars. The stock market is going to go down. There will be times we will be in need. Our relationships won't always be perfect. And some things we hope for, we may never get. That's why Jesus said we should continually seek God. In 2018, let's make a resolution to actively, passionately seek and know God more. The definition of a resolution is this: a firm decision to do or not do something. Let's make a firm decision here on New Year's Eve day to seek God first in 2018. Since I have worked with youth over the past 17 years some, I've always tried to give them practical applications they can do relating to the message that I share with them. So today I want to give us two practical applications we can implement in 2018. First, we need to spend time in the Word of God. A few verses that I love to quote concerning this. First Joshua 1, verse 8. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Next, Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. If we are to seek God first, we need to spend time in his word on a daily basis, and if possible, morning and night. Now with technology, you can get the Bible app, and it will read you the word of God. Since we always have our phones on us at all times, let's spend time reading, studying, and listening to God's word. Also, you can get free podcasts or messages on your phone. Instead of just listening to a message only on Sunday morning, you can listen to messages on a daily or weekly basis. I try to listen to Chuck Swindoll, John MacArthur, Adrian Rogers, Chip Ingram, David Jeremiah, and many others. We can constantly be learning and listening to God's word or messages about his word. That is one way we can seek God. And there's a promise. We will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. That is the promise for someone who meditates on God's word. Second, we need to seek God continually by praying more. Prayer is how we communicate to God. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells the believers, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And in Ephesians, Paul also says this, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all of God's holy people. We should be in a constant state of prayer, thanking God for our blessings, food, clothing, shelter, our families, our church, salvation. The list could go on and on. We should be praying for our brothers and sisters here and abroad. There are Christians all over the world being persecuted for their faith in God. We should be praying for them, but also thanking God that we still live in a country where we have the freedom to worship. We should also come to God in prayer for our needs. Jesus gives us a promise. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. We should keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. That should be the summary of our prayer life, consistently and constantly. I strongly believe these two applications will help us to seek God first in 2018. And remember the promise that Jesus gives. All these things will be added unto you. If we set our hearts and minds on the Lord first, God promises to take care of the rest. Listen to the words of Solomon towards the end of his life. He had more earthly stuff than any of us will ever have. And this is what he said. Fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. What he is saying is, seek God first. Do not set your heart on the things of this earth. They will all perish. Let's make a resolution for 2018 to continually seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's meditate on the Bible day and night. Let's pray without ceasing. Let's purpose in our hearts to put God above anything and anyone else. In closing, I would like to read to you the chorus of a hymn that was written 100 years ago by Helen Lemmel. This really captures the essence of today's message. Listen to the words. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'm going to read it one more time. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for laying this message on my heart. I know it was kind of a quick one, God, but you laid it on my heart. Help us to remember and reflect all that you have done in our lives over 2017. You are constantly at work in the lives of your children. Thank you for that. And moving forward into 2018, God, help us to seek you first. There are so many things pulling us in different directions, but we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. God, please convict us so we spend more time in your word and praying to you without ceasing. Help us to throw off the things of this world that take our attention away from you. God, we commit 2018 to you, God. That's our New Year's resolution, God, to seek you first. Thank you, God. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.